Today's show is sponsored by Bob's Red Mill. With natural foods, they support organic, vegan, paleo, and gluten-free lifestyles. Learn more about their commitment to good food for all at bobsredmill.com/podcast.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Cynthia Cherish Mallorin, Reverend and DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Wedding Cake on Heritage Radio Network. So before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love. That's love spelled L-U-V, and hashtag using Wedding Cake, all one word. Heritage_radio and hashtag RevLove. So welcome to the 14th episode of Wedding Cake, already a few weeks into our second season, and I've got a lineup of new guests, all-star guests, but most importantly, this means a lot more yummy cake. So for those who might be just listening for the first time, this show, Wedding Cake, is a sweet revenge on my own wedding day years ago when I didn't get to have cake because I eloped in Vegas. So that marriage didn't work out, but I still love weddings. I love DJing them. I love writing ceremonies and officiating them. I even love coordinating the surprise marriage proposals around New York City. So go to my website, djcherishthelove.com. That's love spelled L-U-V. Reach out to me if you are planning on popping the question. I can coach you, and together we can make it epic. And the best part of this show, like I said, every week we get to eat wedding cake on air. And because I'm not bitter and I love love, I decided I should have my cake every week and eat it too. So if you need a DJ for your wedding or want me to officiate and write your ceremony, just hit me up and check out our previous episodes of Wedding Cake on iTunes and Stitcher. So speaking of DJing, I DJ Cherish the Love. I'm Whole Foods New York City's official DJ. So come hang and eat and listen to my select tunes every first Tuesday of every month, 6 to 8 p.m., Bryant Park, New York City. September was awesome. Other DJs and event planners came through to say hi. So I hope to see you at the next one. Music Night, October 3rd, 6 to 8 p.m., Whole Foods, Bryant Park, New York City, Harbor Bar, second floor. So I'm also DJing for Food Network, New York Wine and Food Festival, for Chef Ann Burrell. Get your tickets for Friday, October 13th. If you want to hear me rock the crowd, it's going to be an all-women-powered playlist. It's amazing. So go to www.nycwff.org. That stands for New York City Wine and Food Festival. Hoboken, folks. We're going to be launching AM High with Celebrate Life with Susan, October 5th, 6:30 a.m. Yeah, that's right. I said a.m. 6:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. Check it out. Go to Instagram at Celebrate Life with Susan. And you can also find me as resident DJ at New York City's coolest, hottest new bar, lounge, restaurant in the West Village, Urban Vegan Kitchen. I'm there Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and Saturdays. Check in. I'll be spinning classics, unsigned indie artists, and so on. So please send me your tracks and I'll put it out into the world. Send to DJ Cherish the Love, love spelled L-U-V, at gmail.com. So for more info on that, just follow me on Instagram at DJ Cherish the Love. So you might also remember my voice from my previous show on Heritage Radio Network called Primary Food. It hasn't gone away. It still very much lives. So please search for it on iTunes and Stitcher because there are many, many gems about life and creativity and my healing from cancer. And I'll be back on the Primary Food. But since we are entering the beautiful autumn wedding season, I figured we should just keep having cake and talk about love. So listeners, listen up. You can call in live 718-497-2128. I'll say it again. 718-497-2128. This show, Wedding Cake, is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. So please help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. go to heritageradionetwork.org, click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now, and I'll love you forever. So today's guest sitting in front of me, my co-host, Dawn Pascal.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, she's back. You are an all-star from season one,
yes.
The finale. And the final episode and the first episode of this season. And Dawn has, again, made the wedding cake we are nibbling on as we talk. But this time, it's not a cake. It's not a donut. It's a...
Ta-da-da. A micro cake.
Micro cake. Dawn Pascal, the owner of... Oh, micro cake. There we go. The owner of one of the coolest bake shops I know, Om Sweet Home. It's 100% vegan and gluten-free, soy-free, palm oil-free, organic, non-GMO bakery in beautiful Cliffside Park, New Jersey. And she's also the maker of an amazing vegan butter. So thank you for being back.
Thank you for having me.
I just love when you come and feed me cake.
So that's it.
That's what it's about. Dawn and I are also on the big little screen. We shot an episode of Veggie Hunter together. Go to YouTube and subscribe. Your episode is adorable.
Thank you.
Love it. So tell us about this micro cake we've got here.
Yeah, so we wanted to do something a little bit different than a cupcake. We refer to a micro cake as a jacked up cupcake in our space. So, you know, some people don't really know how to take that whole term jacked up. We mean jacked up in a good way. So really what it is it's a small little square cake that's cut in the middle and iced and it looks like a little tiny baby cake, but it's about the size of a cupcake.
It's so yummy.
Thank you.
So why do you recommend micro cakes for weddings?
Well, you know, it's something different. You know, sometimes people don't like to go through the whole cake cutting ceremony piece, or even if they do, they can still cut a little tiny piece. But then, you know, have sort of a dessert table set up. And we've done that before for couples events. And, you know, in celebratory, celebrations, et cetera, parties that we set up a dessert table and we have all little micro cakes set out. So it's portioned already, you know, and they're cute because it looks like a little floral bed, you know, and it's all rosette tops and, you know, and then of course we can use all different icings and colors and match their theme and, you know, going back to the whole beet cake, you know,
woke
cake. Woke cake, right, from season one. and the vanilla buttercream with a little bit of beet powder in it. And it's a beautiful pink color, but it also gives you your dose of veggies. And, you know.
There's veggies in my cake.
There's veggies in your cake, right? Well, you are the veggie hunter, so
I
kind
love
of made
it.
Sense.
But you know why I love the little cakes? Because you can have many different flavors.
Right. Right,
right.
Yeah.
So you're not like confined to the one lemon chiffon, whatever that like people decided to buy.
Yeah, I don't get that, but
yeah. So it's about variety,
yes.
And I think visually, it's
yeah,
wonderful.
Totally right.
These are what flavor? This is chocolate, everything.
This is actually vanilla, almond, and chocolate.
Oh, I was going to say, do I not know the difference between chocolate and vanilla?
No, it's all right. It's all good.
So tell us what's in it.
Yeah, so it's a lighter chocolate. It's not a very dark chocolate. So, and there may even be some beet in there too. So mm-hmm. It might be like a mixture of a vanilla beet buttercream with a little bit of chocolate. And then it's in a, I think we use the vanilla almond cake this time.
So why did you choose this combination? Is this something you love?
Because it just tastes good.
That's a prerequisite.
You know, little QC, tasted good. We were like, yeah, all right, we'll do that one.
Yum, yum, yum. You said portion, as if.
As if properly portioned. Well, but properly portioned, right? So, you know, part of what we do in our bakery and what we sell is we sell things that are portioned correctly. Now, correctly, I use that term loosely. It's based on what, you know, the nutritional facts are for that item, if we happen to have the nutritional facts run for it, but also what we think is the proper portion. You know, sure, you can go and you can eat three micro cakes. We're not gonna, there's no judgment. It's a judgment-free zone.
Don't judge
always.
Me.
No, yeah, always, right? But at least we've portioned it correctly so that if you were actually trying to feed a whole mess of people at your celebration or wedding or event, whatever, that you can have that nice variety and everything is portioned for everyone.
Get the micro cakes. Dawn loves making these, and her passion goes into it because she's an awesome, badass businesswoman.
Thank you.
That's right. We need to shout out about your fundraiser.
Yeah. So we're going down the butter road. Yeah. So that's the
only way. So
it sounded really weird, but I'll describe what that means. So we make our own butter. We make our own non-dairy butter alternative. The story behind it is nothing on the market that I liked that we could use in the bakery as buttercream to our cakes. Nothing existed. We created it ourselves. We said, okay, let's not keep this secret just for us. Let's share it with the world. We did. We started to package it and sell it. We're in about 20 different stores now, including our own bakery that sells it. And that's it. We're just trying to get it across the United States. And in order to be able to do that, we are kindly asking those who want the butter to help support us to raise the necessary funds and capital in order to really grow this piece of the business in volume and everything that's needed to kind of get there.
And I love bringing Dawn back as a co-host during this process because I want to know the status. Where are we at with the fundraiser?
So we're still kind of where we were last time.
I know. Listeners, listen up. You need to budge this thing.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, butter for everybody.
More butter for everyone.
Well, actually, that is true because if you know you do pledge. And you're kind enough to give to our campaign, one of the pledges is the reward of butter. So given that specific dollar amount, if you wanted to contribute that dollar amount, you actually do receive butter from us. And
the reward of butter.
Right. Yeah.
I love that.
Interesting, right?
I feel like you're flirting with me by saying, I shall reward you with
sticks
butter.
Sticks of butter for everybody.
I mean, maybe I need to make people like fall in love with you to like throw money at you. I love some of your background story. You watched Galloping Gourmet.
Good Lord. Yeah.
Uh-huh. With Chef Graham Kerr. Now, I grew up watching that too.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I'm so fascinated by this guy. So how did that affect you?
He was just really funny. He was just really funny. Like, there's really no other way for me to describe it. He was one of two people really on the air at that time that were chefs that you can tune into and bring them into your home. You know, it's not like now where there's, you know, a gazillion different shows and all different, mediums of cooking. There were two,
yeah.
Julia Child and Graham Kerr, and that's it. I was five, so we're talking, this was, you know, not yesterday, but, you know, a couple of years earlier than that.
A few yesterdays
ago.
Yeah,
a few, just a few.
Because while other five-year-olds like myself are, you know, watching cartoons, that's what you were doing.
Right. Well, I was watching cartoons, and then I was watching The Galloping Gourmet.
Did you actually learn how to cook from...
Yeah.
You
yeah,
did.
Well, yeah, and I have a family who cooks. So it was really kind of only natural, I think, that I gravitated that way. You know, also I am named after my father's mother, my paternal grandmother, who was like the best cook in the world. Of course, everybody's grandmother is the best cook in the world. I never got to meet her, unfortunately, but she did everything. She cooked, she baked, she made her own pasta, she made her own bread, she made her own tomato sauce, she made her own paste, she made her own everything. So it's kind of crazy, and or maybe it's all on purpose, and it's the greater force that pushed me that way, that I am her namesake, and I've kind of followed in the tradition of what she did. So I used to watch Graham Kerr, loved him, thought he was very cheeky and funny. He was funny. He was very entertaining. So I used to write the recipes down as best as I could,
as a
5-year old could, right? You know, meringue. I don't even know how to spell that now. And write down, you know, whatever. And then I would cook it with my mom. And it was fun. You know,
aww.
I didn't go to culinary school and I didn't go in that direction. And, but I did go to business, you know, I did go into, you know, finance and it kind of led me down a different path, but you know, it all kind of circled back because it makes sense now.
Well, what's the URL for your fundraiser again?
So it is ifundwomen.com/projects/omsweethome.
Om Sweet Home.
Yes.
If you help this fundraiser grow, Grandma will be so proud.
Yes, she would. And you'll get some butter.
And you'll get rewarded with butter.
And you'll get some butter.
Om Sweet Home baked goods are made to order with love and positive vibes in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. And they are available at cafes and retail establishments throughout New Jersey and the greater New York City area. So I love what you said on your site. We hope that you take the time to treat yourself to a little peace.
Yes, that's our tagline.
Spelled P-E-A-C-E. So callers, go to the website. Listeners, go to the website. Call in and you can tell us your thoughts about cakes and grandmas and wedding dresses and so on. But also joining us in the studio next to Dawn, co-host Dawn, is Jordan Knox. Hey, Jordan.
Hey.
So you work in technology.
I do. During the day, I work with kids, kindergarten to fifth grade. And it's awesome. It's an awesome experience.
Jordan is a lyricist, a DJ, and a producer, and also a badass businesswoman. You started your first company at 18.
That's true.
Let's tell us about that.
My company really based around consulting, pitching different projects and stuff like that. After a while, I realized, wow, like I'm growing because of this. It's time for me to focus more on myself. And I decided to make Jordan Knox my top priority, and it's paid off.
I love that so much.
And you
much.
Realized that at 18?
No.
Good for you.
What I realized at 18 was that I had something very creative about me. I started in college, actually, in Delaware, where I started basically performing at different events on campus, poetry-based. And a local hip-hop artist saw me perform. And he was like, you got to put this into a song. You got to get into the studio. So that's when I started finding myself musically.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. And then I came back to New York and it just started unfolding. But on the company side was my ideas, my creative ideas, which I put to work in everything that I do.
You've got to express those creative ideas. Like otherwise they sit in you and just kind of like eat you up.
That's so true.
So you are working on a new album. Single is dropping in October in a couple of weeks,
yes.
A few weeks. So tell us about that single.
The song is called All In, and I'm hoping I come back here and debut that song.
Sounds like my kind of thing, All In.
Yes, All In. And basically, you know, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's about putting your all into your dreams, you know, being in line with God's will. I'm definitely a God-fearing person. And, you know, I've shared it with some of my team, and they've basically said they feel like it's a call to action, you know, that it's time to be all in for yourself, for your community, for your world, you know, everything that's going on in the world.
It is definitely the time for that.
Yes, it's definitely my verses are very political and socially conscious.
So when you're ready, just pass it to me. Come back.
Definitely.
We'll debut it. You also have a new web series coming in a few months.
Yes.
Right? Tell us about that.
In 2010, I was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And that's a really long and deep story I hope to put in a book one day. But the series Schizo is really outlining my daily routines, going to different events, performances, interviews, and also I do like a little diary series because sometimes it could be 12, midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and I'm dealing with the schizophrenia, and I might be the only one around, you know, everybody sleep, you know, and so I just chronicle through video what I'm going through, you know, and it's the trailer is up. You can go to my YouTube channel, Enhanced Music. That's INHANCE Music. And you will see the trailer, which is, it's deep. It's a deep trailer. Yes.
Why is awareness so important for you?
You told me as far as mental health. Wow, because, I mean, for one thing, I feel like a lot of people, when I tell them that I have schizophrenia, they're like, what exactly is that? You know, a lot of people have heard about depression, But with schizophrenia, a lot of times people think that you're not functional at all. But that's not true, you know? I know my doctors have told me in the past that I'm very functional, but when I tell them what I've gone through, they're like, yeah, this is definitely schizophrenia, and they're trying to figure out how I even made it this far and to be able to talk to them the way that I did and to be able to, you know, still have hopes and dreams that I'm, you know, fulfilling.
Well, you said you have faith, right?
Yes.
And you have a purpose.
Yes.
So that's a lot of it too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It definitely, you know, I would say the medicine keeps me balanced, but God keeps me whole and keeps me, you know, gives me the strength to do everything that I seek to do and that I feel he wants me to do.
Good for you.
You can download Jordan Knox's app to stay in the know about everything that you're working on. Where can we download that?
It's in both the Android and the iOS, in iOS Apple Store.
And your website?
JordanKnox.com. That's Jordan like Michael Jordan, KNOXX.com.
So Jordan, you have supplied a really great love song to
yes.
the show. It's called The One. Tell us about this song. It's wonderful.
Thank you. The One means so much to me. It's really a song. It's like a call out to the person that I hope to marry one day. Don't know who she is, but it's like my homage to her, my love to her, me taking on that, you know, feeling like, okay, if she was right in front of me, what would I say, you know? And sometimes I feel like I feel her, but I'm not sure who she is. And so this is like my way of, like, one day hopefully I'll meet her and then I'll play this song for her. So you guys get to hear it first.
We've got feels in the studio. We're going to play the track and we're going to take a break. That song is just so perfect for the show. So thank you for representing and sharing your talent and your music. We're going to hear it now. And then afterwards, a word from our sponsor. And then we'll be back with Jennifer and Jeff Salvage. We're going to hear their story about their wedding dress that is traveling the world.
You. I've been wanting this since I could think that old love's done. It's in my rear view. A love like this makes life make sense. Can we be happy till life's complete? A love that never ceases in time. A love that only true love can find. My heart, my baby, my keys, my everything. My nothing even matters. I'm coming home to my queen. Tears in my eyes as you walk down the aisle. A love that won't hide. A love that makes a room shut up. Stop, look, and listen. You must. We make lust run. We God fearing. You make me scream hallelujah. I found ya. Cause I've been praying every night, every day. I go to the Lord like, please bring her in my life. I need her. Not because I'm incomplete, because she's my other half. She keeps me close and don't let go. We won. You in my arms, never wanna let go. Your love is like a line of love to feel flow from my lips. Nothing could match us, past or present. You came into my life, we was always like magnets. Heavy attraction, eyes connect, it's a chain reaction. Now I'm hoping you're cool with a lifetime of what we have, cause I need it. You the only one that can bring it. So let's move to our rhythm, never let go. I'm always waiting for our love to explode. Our feelings we mold, true love, let them hate cause we bold. Time to hold cause we out here and it gets cold. So let's go, ring the finger, my love to your heart. You was meant for the start. You my one. Let's go.
Hey, it's Kathy Irway, the host of Eat Your Words. Today I'm here with Camilla Salisbury, author of Bob's Red Mill Everyday Gluten-Free Cookbook, 281 Delicious Whole Grain Recipes. We're going to get to the bottom of this gluten-free craze. So why aren't people eating gluten, and what does gluten-free really mean?
Well, there are two main reasons why people are deciding to go gluten-free these days. And the first one is really serious. It's for people who have celiac disease, and it's a pretty serious condition. But then there is also a growing number of people with gluten intolerance or gluten sensitivity, and they're trying out gluten-free diets because they find that eating foods without gluten just makes them feel better.
Okay, got it. But what actually makes something gluten-free?
Well, what makes something gluten-free is essentially that it doesn't have any of the protein, gluten, in it. And a lot of people are surprised to learn that many grains do not contain gluten, when in fact just a very small number of grains do.
Does anyone offer truly gluten-free options?
Well, Bob's Red Mill really understands gluten-free options, and that means they separate their grains during the manufacturing process, and so they're testing each batch at every step of the way for purity to ensure that it's gluten-free. So when it says on the package that it's gluten-free, you can be assured that it is gluten-free.
All right, so gluten-free listeners out there craving some steel-cut oats can pick up a pack of Bob's Red Mill and rest assured you're getting the real deal. Learn more about Bob's Red Mill and all the gluten-free products that they offer at bobsredmill.com/podcast.
Welcome back. I love that track, Jordan.
Thank you.
Again, it was called The One. Where can people acquire this track?
This song is everywhere. iTunes, you can get it on Amazon. If you like to stream your music, Tidal, Spotify.
Oh, you have it everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere. The album is called Puzzle Pieces. And yes, the song is The One.
And your website again?
JordanKnox.com.
That's Knox with two X's.
Yes.
So this episode is dedicated to the wedding dress. And there is one wedding dress in particular that is getting famous for traveling the world. So as mentioned in the last episode with you, Dawn, if you remember, that Queen Victoria is actually credited with starting the Western world's white wedding dress trend in 1840, because before that, brides just simply wore their favorite dress, right? So let's listen to what this adventurous couple is doing with their wedding dress while we sit back in the studio and stuff our faces with micro cake made by Om Sweet Home Bakery and Bob's Red Mill Flour. I'm literally going to stuff our faces. This is a little story about a traveling wedding dress. After most weddings, people usually store their wedding dress in a box, in the attic, in the basement, but not Jennifer and Jeff Salvage. I have them on the line here joining us all the way from New Jersey. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
So Jeff and Jennifer have authored several books. When It Clicks, One Woman's Journey from Solo Hiker to Model Wife, and a photo book, One Dress, One Woman, One World, Experience the World Through the Eyes of a Bride. Such incredible photos.
We had a pretty exotic destination wedding, and it began pretty innocently enough. Jeff's a professional photographer, and he had warned me that I would be getting in and out of the dress, not just on the wedding day, but, you know, the whole week we were there, because he would want sunrise shots and sunset shots and nighttime shots. So I was prepared for the idea of I would be wearing the dress certainly more than once. We were flying home, and I think I was having that experience and that feeling of, oh, it's so sad to put the dress away and put it in a box.
Mm.
For what? For who? And we had a summer lined up. We got married in March, and we had a whole summer lineup of travel planned, including a month hiking in the Alps and also almost a month in China. And we really don't remember who suggested it, but one of us said, well, why don't we bring the dress along for the summer and keep taking some really amazing, iconic dress photos?
This is our 9th, going on our 10th year. We'll be married 10 years in March.
At this point, how many countries have you been to with the dress, and how many miles do you think you've traveled?
So we do calculate it. We've gone over 250,000 miles of travel across 40 countries.
Ooh, we've been to Egypt. We've been to Jordan. We've been to Australia and New Zealand.
All across Europe.
Yeah.
Russia, South America. We've hit Chile, Argentina, Brazil, obviously the U.S., We took a step into Mexico and did a shot going through the border. But amazingly, we haven't done more of Mexico, and we haven't even touched Canada yet.
There's a picture of you bungee jumping, right? What do people say when they see you out there?
Every time people tripped across us doing a photo shoot, they were really excited because they thought they had stumbled into a wedding. But then when we told them what we were doing, they thought that was even cooler. They thought that was even more amazing and so romantic. And the response was just phenomenal. And so by the way home, we kind of knew we had something more than just a fun little project.
I love it.
And 9.5 years ago, you didn't quite have the social media craze as you do today. So I think we were more of an oddity. We're now, I think, you know, there's a few more people trying to do stuff like this. Mm-hmm.
It's like your wedding day has never ended. I feel like it's ongoing, and it's so wonderful. You must have.
Well, and sometimes it feels very romantic and wonderful, and other times it's
cold.
Cold. I have been stage hypothermia several times. So sometimes it's definitely work. But the thing that I love about it is it gives us a different focus. We're not just tourists when we travel. It forces us in a really good way to interact with the locals, and we meet people, these wonderful ones that we never would have met, and we have these really genuine experiences when we're traveling, even in touristy places, that we would never otherwise have. So we just feel so fortunate.
Yeah, we went to Plitvice National Park in Croatia, and we were staying with this very charismatic innkeeper, and aside from the park, at one point he said, why don't I take you and I'll show you where locals get married? And I'm like, okay, let me just tell Jennifer I'm going. And he's like, oh, you don't have to tell her. We'll be right back. And I'm like, yeah, this could be a two-hour trip, and my wife will freak out because I've disappeared. And so I told her we went, and then we ended up doing a local wedding dress shoot as opposed to just the kind of mainstream stuff. And he had local hooch that he was giving us. And, you know, it's just a whole different relationship.
You guys must have so many incredible stories. Who else have you met along the way? Because you meet people all the time.
We do. There are two that stand out in my mind, and one is this beautiful, beautiful couple in Santorini. And when we travel, we generally try and stay on the cheap. We're two academics. And so we were staying in a 2 or 3-star hotel that wasn't very expensive, but it was where we needed it to be. And they didn't speak a whole lot of English, but they were amazing and wonderful. And when we left, we were hugging and kissing, and they gave us a found bag of lentils and a bottle of wine. And they were an older couple, and as the man was giving me a kiss on each cheek, as is customary, he said, please, you two come back to Santorini. We hospitalize you for free. And at first, my brain was like, wait, I don't want to be hospitalized here. And then I realized what he meant.
Oh my God.
Things like that just brought tears to my eyes. Our stay in Rio, we went for the Olympics, and we stayed with an Airbnb in the middle of a family's room in their home. Their youngest daughter, Valentina, was in love with the whole idea. And so they found this hike, and it's a spot that's gone viral. That's an optical illusion, and it looks like Jeff is hanging off a cliff when he's actually, he's safe. But it has gotten so popular that we went for a hike with the whole family, the parents, the grandmother, the children, and we thought it was a 30-minute jaunt. And it ended up being a 2-hour straight up, your nose in the dirt, very steep to get to it, only to find about a 4-hour queue already waiting to have their photo taken there. Valentina had brought her own wedding dress because she wanted to do a shot with me. So our host, Carla, was determined. She said, I'm going to get you down the line. And I thought, you're going to get us killed. She said, no, you put the dress on. I'm going to get you down. So we get all the way down the line. And we get to about the last 20 people, and we get a very big, very loud no. And we're like, okay, uh-oh. And she says, look, she's explaining all of this in Portuguese. She says, he's a professional photographer. If you let her in, he's going to take all your photos and send you the professional one. And then it was, okay. But that is one of my favorite photos, is the one that we took afterwards with me and little 6-year-old Valentina.
Wow. Now, Jeff, as the photographer, do you have a favorite shooting moment?
We took a group of like 10 friends to Jordan, and we were going to do a shoot at Petra where they light the whole thing up in candles. And it was one of those, you're either going to get it or not. Hmm. And one of the guides / cooks had Jennifer go to his house so she could shower and clean, because we've been hiking for days. before the photo shoot so she could be, you know, prepped a little nicer. And as we're walking in, the other guide, who was literally born in a cave, like a half a mile from Petra, says, "Give me all your gear." And as a photographer, you know, that's just like freak out. But they were so wonderful and so trustworthy. I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. This is all part of it. I handed him all my gear because I didn't know if there was any regulations or whatever. And he got us all in, and we got all set up for the shot, and all the candles are there, and Jen's set up, and we're ready to click, and 1,000 people walked in front of us. Like, don't worry about it. Just relax. When the show's over, I'll get everybody out, and you'll get your picture. And sure enough,
you could relax. I was sitting in the dress.
So you started in Easter Island, Chile. You've done the bungee swing or roller coaster.
We also did something called the zero-G experience.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Where we got to experience zero gravity. So we floated in the dress.
Wow.
And that was one where she was more than willing to do it again.
Absolutely.
That sounds so cool. I saw the picture. You were in a karate session. You were holding puppies. I think you were holding a Komodo dragon also, if that's what that was.
Dragon wombat.
Wombat. Oh, I'm very comfortable with animals. So I worked with a python. Favorite was the koala.
Wow.
Although I did enjoy the Komodo dragon, the wombat actually did take a poop on me, so we had to hose the dress off to continue with that shot. But the baby koala, Mabel, who's reaching out for my cheek, they decided I was good enough with the animals. She'd never touched a human being. She was a very young koala, and they said, just sidle up next to her and see what happens. And after a few minutes, she reached out, she grabbed my cheek, and she came in. Like 5 nose-to-nose kisses.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
I mean, that's amazing. Redwoods, parachuting, ice hockey rinks, basketball courts, baseball fields. Do you have a favorite location?
I adored Santorini. I adored Rio. Australia and New Zealand are soft spots for me.
Now, what's next? Where are you going next with the dress?
So we're leaving in a week, less than a week, to go to southern Portugal, where we're going to go to Bengali Cave, which is a cave only accessible by boat. Then we're going to work our way up the coast to Sintra, northern Spain, and we finish in London because I'm going to go photograph at the World Championships.
I think it's such a nice reminder. It's, you know, we'll go and flip through, and all of a sudden it will jog a great memory of something fantastic that happened when we were traveling there. Certainly, my mother, my parents are in love with it because they get to see all these great photos of their daughter and all these amazing places. It's interesting to me. It's pushed me. Documenting it has been, I guess it's been a boost, honestly, to my self-esteem. I do not see myself as a model. I never have. I'm comfortable in hiking boots and a ponytail. And so I was very self-conscious about this in the beginning, and I felt funny if people gathered to watch. But when I see the end result, which is at least somewhat in part to his amazing photography skills, but when I see the end result and I look at a picture and I think, wow, that looks pretty good.
That's so beautiful.
It definitely has given me, I think, a little more confidence.
I love that. And the back cover copy of your book, When It Clicks, there's a line in there that really struck me. When It Clicks chronicles Jennifer's struggles to let go of her old insecurities, live in the moment, and become a woman who is actually, finally, comfortable in her own skin. And that's basically what you just said. That's so beautiful. So 9 years with this dress, your 10th anniversary is coming up really soon. Where are you guys planning on going?
We're hoping to go to Cuba.
I think I'm going to have to join you guys. What should we do when we're there?
That would be really cool. And then we could renew wedding vows because I hear you can perform such.
I would love to do that. I would love to do that in Cuba. You bring me along. I'll be your media reason and we can do that.
That sounds great.
So where can people find you online and order books and find out more about your story?
If you go to www.onedressonewoman.com, and O-N-E is spelled out, they can sign up for an email list. And we don't spam people. People think we have disappeared because we really only do this at this point while we're on break. So once or twice a year, you get an email, hey, here's what we just did, and you get to vote on the last shot. You can also find us on Facebook.
Yeah, the voting's kind of fun because a lot of times, like with the shot on the King's Road in Ireland, we'll narrow it down. You know, it starts at something ridiculous like 500, and Jeff will narrow it down to the 20 or 25 best.
Wow.
And then we go through together. But occasionally, there'll be 4 shots that we look at them and we feel like we really just can't decide which is the best. So it's always interesting to have people vote and see what they think.
I love it. I love it. So I'll be following you, Jeff and Jennifer Salvage, and the traveling dress. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
What would your wedding dress look like, Dawn? What would it look like? What's your style? Hopefully no animal's going to poop on it.
I just love the fact that 9 or 10 years later, she still fits in it. I think that's awesome. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Wow, okay. I got to stop eating cake. What would my wedding dress look like? I have a wedding file, which I compiled probably for the past 25 years. And there's all different styles in there. I think probably just like really very simple, like very simple, flowy. I would love to just get married like on a beach somewhere and do like the whole destination thing. And, you change so many times over the years about what you want and don't want, but
totally.
Yeah.
I've gone from super fancy to like, clean.
Yeah, sure. Right. I'm going to wear shorts. White ones, of course. Yeah.
Jordan, what would your wedding outfit, dress, whatever you would want, what would that look like? I posted that picture of you in the white North Face jacket because I was like, that's your wedding dress.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'll let my wife rock the dress, but probably like a white tux or something like that. Something real, like you said, like clean, like real nice, you know?
Oh, I meant clean, like hygienic.
Oh, you meant, oh, man, she's no clean, poop on
right?
It.
Yeah, I meant like, yeah, no animal stuff on it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, me, I would want to hire some of my designer friends to make mine.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Something like couture.
Yeah. Something. Because, I got this funny body now. Like, I don't have the breasts anymore. And then, like, my body shape is all, like, confusing. So
you would still go super fancy?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I would get, like, all geometric and Grace Jones-like.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Just because it'd be, like, so surprising.
Like a little metal corset.
Well, because I'm not into really, like, spending $7,000 on a dress.
No.
But some people are. I mean, you know what? If I had the money and I could pay a friend to do that, I think I would.
Well, and then you can wear it for the next 10 years and travel with your husband and take pictures. So it would well be you'd pay for it.
Yeah, we all want fun partners wherever you are.
Yes, right? Exactly.
That's why we're on air. We're actually just here for that.
Exactly.
I have cake.
She has cake. She has cake and Jordan has love songs.
Exactly.
And I don't know what I have. But if you wanted a designer dress, and if you're in New York City, shopping for wedding dresses in New York City, according to womangettingmarried.com, let me say that one more time, womangettingmarried.com, these are the top 10 wedding dress stores for designer dresses in New York City. Lovely Bride in Tribeca. It's the Etsy meets Vintage Chic. Then there's Leanne Marshall Bridal. Fun fact about Leanne, she's Project Runway Season 5 winner. That's kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
That is cool.
I would love, like, a winner of something to make my dress feel like it would be perfect. So people also say that they love that she can be seen working in the back, like on her sewing machine and stuff. You can actually find her. So her collections are kind of boho chic and then high on the girly scale. There's Paisley Bridal in Middle Village. Brides say that the owner is first class and puts you at ease, which is something that I would like. The Sample Room New York in Flatiron for brides who are on a budget but still want to wear high-end designer stuff. There's, of course, Kleinfeld Bridal in Chelsea with a huge selection. It's not a very intimate experience, but they've got, like, everything. And you never feel rushed, so people say. There's Schoenbride in Gowanus, gorgeously vintage-inspired dresses that are down-to-earth and will suit a bride that doesn't want to feel like she looks like a cupcake on her wedding day. There's Avika Bridal in Burham Hill with a selection that ranges from bohemian to modern. If you're looking for a unique selection of dresses, this is the place for you. There's the Cotton Bride in Long Island City. And the shop has dresses made completely out of natural fabrics like cotton, linen, silk for brides who are looking for an alternative to the poofy dress. A lot of people call it a hidden gem, this place. There's Gabriella in New York Bridal Salon in Soho, with lots of pink and patterns and show-stopping gowns. And then there is Wedding Atelier in Flatiron, where brides feel like they got the best personal shopping experience and a zen experience at the same time. So did you ever wonder where the phrase tying the knot came from, guys? Tying the knot.
Hmm. Tying the knot.
Hmm.
Is it during the ceremony? Is there, like, customary they tie the husband and wife's wrists together or something?
They tie them up.
No, do you know how, like, they do the whole candle ceremony where it's, like, two separate candles and then, like, one, like, something like that? No?
Sure. Well, something like that, yeah. I mean, many cultures around the world, including Celtic, Hindu, Egyptian weddings, the hands of the bride and groom are literally tied together to demonstrate the couple's commitment to each other and their new bond. Very good.
And the term ball and chain.
Oh!
Right.
Keep that out your mouth on this show. June weddings are popular. Why? And they've been popular for a very long time. Come on, Dawn. You must know the answer to this, too.
The season, the summer, the weather.
Well, it's not summer every June everywhere.
That's right? True, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, it's international.
I don't know.
They like June. Wow.
Does it have to do with birthing cycle or
mid-year.
Something?
Sounds good, but wrong.
No.
Do that one more time, David.
Thank you.
The Roman goddess Juno rules over marriage and children, hence the popularity of June weddings.
That.
I think you knew that. That's why I was throwing that one at you.
Mm. And I was born in June, by the way.
Oh, okay. See,
there you
see.
Go.
There you go. There you go for what? I don't know. And honeymoons, they weren't always so luxurious. Ancient Norse bridal couples went into hiding after the wedding, and a family member would bring them a cup of honey wine for 30 days, or one moon, which is how the term honeymoon originated. I wonder what they were doing in hiding for 30 days in seclusion. Eating cake.
Probably.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, Dawn, you have an evergreen giveaway for people who are listening. If they come visit your shop?
Yes. Yeah. If they come visit the shop, they get a donut and a hug.
Oh, right? A donut and a coffee.
Yeah. And a coffee.
The coffee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, again, your website?
The website is om-sweethome.com. But the fund site is ifundwomen.com/project/omsweethome, no dashes.
Please support.
Please.
Please support. And Jordan, we can find your music again at...
Yes, I am everywhere. You can Google me, Jordan Knox. Jordan, K-N-O-X-X. Basically, JordanKnox.com. Instagram, The Real Jordan Knox. Twitter, Jordan Knox. You will definitely find me. I follow back.
She follows back. I love love, and I love that you've been listening. Thank you, and come back for another slice of wedding cake on Heritage Radio Network.
For listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.